Following paid program is furnished by Service Matters. It is for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff. And Navigant Credit Union presents Service Matters with your hosts, Dave Clifton and
AM 790 Talk and Business. And Navigant Credit Union presents Service Matters with your hosts, Dave Clifton and Rona Mann.
Join them this hour to talk about local, regional, and global service and the great work performed by service organizations throughout Southern New England. They'll feature guests from scouts to lions to church groups to veterans and more. If you're interested in giving back, paying it forward, or meeting folks who do, you've come to the right place. Service Matters, brought to you by Navigant Credit Union. Celebrating a century, looking forward to the next 100. Now, here's your hosts, Rotarians Dave Clifton and Rona Mann.
Good afternoon and welcome once again to another edition of Service Matters. Yes, we're live here on AM 790 WPRV. We are indeed a Cumulus station. I'm Dave Clifton.
I'm Rona Mann.
And we'll be with you from 3 to 4 p.m. on this third day of March. Boy, time is flying. And today we're going to be talking about Alzheimer's slash dementia. Yes, Alzheimer's is a common form of dementia. As a matter of fact, there are 45 million people around the world that have Alzheimer's that are living with it.
It never used to be talked about that much. People were afraid to, but now I think they're starting to come out of the woodwork and get informed.
And it's growing amazingly. I'll tell you, right now it's about 39 degrees outside of our studios here in East Providence. And we're going to dedicate this show to this very important cause, and it involves lots of people, not just the folks who have Alzheimer's, but it also involves the people who do research to try to find a cure. We're going to talk about the caretakers and the role that they play. These are family members, and there's about 15 million around the world that come under that category, trying to do the best they can to take care of their loved ones and their family. How important it is to be able to spread the word. Awareness and education is also important. We'll be talking to some what I call experts. They'll either be calling in today or we have one in our studio. He's a special in-studio guest, Bob Elmer. He lives in Connecticut. He spends a lot of time in Rhode Island. And he spends lots of time doing Rotary chores. He also wrote a book called Join the Journey, Care for Alzheimer's Caregivers, Robert Elmer III. And Bob, we thank you so much for joining us here in the studio. We got a great show and lots of guests.
Well, thank you, David. I appreciate having this opportunity.
Tell us about the book.
Let me go back to the beginning. A number of years ago when I became got into the senior care administration industry, I was an administrator and executive director of an assisted living community, and we expanded on our campus and built a dedicated community for those with Alzheimer's and dementia. It was a practical business move as much as it was a humanitarian one, because as our population was aging in place, they were developing dementia as they got older, and we were losing them. And we had nowhere to go and had to go back to these families and say, Mom or Dad is no longer appropriate here, and you'll have to find another place for them to live. By adding that community on our campus, we added a continuum of care, and they could stay on our campus, stay with us, stay in the community, because back then when we built this first community, back in 2000, there was nothing. Nothing in southern Rhode Island and nothing in eastern Connecticut.
Am I right, Bob, that people used to kind of hide away these people because they didn't know what it was? It was hardening of the arteries, I remember.
Well, that's vascular dementia. You had mentioned the awareness. You're absolutely right. It was old age disease. It was senility. And unfortunately, when a celebrity comes to play, Rock Hudson, put AIDS on the front page.
Mm, that's right.
Ronald Reagan, when he came down with Alzheimer's, suddenly Alzheimer's was front page news. Good news, bad news, of course. That's one of the things that really brings it into the forefront.
Pat Summitt, another one.
Oh, of course.
And
it's kind of
coach.
Interesting when you do what I do as an Alzheimer's, as a master trainer and an Alzheimer's care specialist, and I read about Pat Summitt, and I'm a huge UConn women's basketball fan, of course, and I saw what they were going to try to do with her. All I could do was shake my head and say, that's not going to work. Yeah. Because I understand what's going on in poor Pat's head at the time.
Hers was early onset.
It sure was.
And she was from Tennessee,
Tennessee,
right?
You bet.
Tennessee, yeah.
You know, there's, we'll get into this a little bit later, I think, but, you know, you, this disease is so insidious. If you're a 60 Minutes fan, if you saw that segment last weekend, they repeated that from about a month ago, Anokia, Columbia.
Yes.
Where, you know, they found that genetic mutation on chromosome number 14, which means that you have a 100% chance of getting Alzheimer's and being, you know, within the next 10 years.
And wow. No way out. Nothing
no
you
way.
Can do.
That's
I'm going to ask you both to hold this thought. We do have a caller on the line. And again, we remind the folks out there who are listening that we have 5.4 million people here in the United States who are living with Alzheimer's. 5.2 of those are senior adults ages 65 and over. And guess what? Two-thirds of those folks are women. On the telephone line right now, we have Tim Armour. And Tim represents Cure Alzheimer's Fund. That's a nonprofit organization dedicated to funding research with the highest probability of preventing. And thank you, Tim Armour, for joining us here from Wellesley, Massachusetts. Happy to have you here on AM 790 WPRV.
Welcome, Tim.
Thank you, Dave and Rona and Bob. Great to be with you.
And, Tim, I know that you certainly have a mission. Lots of great things are happening with your particular group. Tell us some of the good news.
Well, the good news is research has been slow in developing. You know, we've, as Bob knows, we've known about this disease since 1907, and it's been a long, long pull to get it to where it is today. It's been accelerating. It's been faster, particularly in the last 10 years. I think the best news, really, is that more and more researchers are beginning to agree on the basic causes of the pathology and its progression. There are still disagreements about how that happens and what does which to whom, but we've got much broader agreement in the field than we had even 5 years ago. And while that means we're still, unfortunately, away from an effective therapy, it means that more people are working on the same kinds of things, which really is a kind of a critical mass of effort that's going to result in some success. So,
Tim, I know that Cure Alzheimer's Fund, you have five founders who have been so active over the years doing what they can, not just to contribute financially, but they're really into this. Tell us about your founders.
Sure, and we have a very active board. We have Jeff and Jackie Morby, currently living in Florida. We have Henry McCants, formerly of Greylock, venture capital firm. And we have Phyllis Rappaport of New Boston Fund, commercial real estate here in the Boston area. Those were the four prime movers of the organization in 2005. And since then, we've been joined by five other board members who also take a very, very active role in our organization.
That's terrific. Tim, I'm going to ask you to stay on the line. We have a surprise for you. It's Jeff Morby calling in from Florida. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us here on AM 790, and I know that you have some good things to say about the weather out there.
Yeah, it's nicer, but it's very windy right now and starting to rain, so it's not that good.
Jeff, you've played a major role with Cure Alzheimer's Fund. And we know, as well as all the folks out there listening, that the good news is the fact that we got lots of research going on, people who are working to find a cure. And, of course, the bad news is the fact that we don't have a cure at the present time. Tell us something about the importance of this research.
Well, you want to talk about the research in connection with Rotary?
No,
Or research in general.
Yeah, research in general. We'll eventually get to Rotary.
Well, all right. Alzheimer's really goes in three stages. Stage one, which takes place over perhaps 20 years, is the buildup of amyloid in your brain, and that's usually caused by some genetic defect. And then once that happens, the next stage is what's called tau tangle stage, and there the amyloid is starting to kill neural cells, and the residue of the neural cells becomes a kind of spaghetti-like mass, and it starts spreading through the brain like a tsunami, killing other neural cells. So at that stage, you have both amyloid and tau killing neural cells. And then in the third stage, the brain is now experiencing all this brain death, and it thinks something's wrong and starts sending out free radicals trying to kill what it perceives to be pathogens. And if you have the wrong genes there, it overdoes it, and that's when a person gets Alzheimer's. So there are three stages, the amyloid, tau, and the inflammation, and you really need all three stages to actually get Alzheimer's. So if you're developing a drug to try to save people from getting Alzheimer's, the first thing you try to do is stop the amyloid. So there are a whole bunch of activities going on to create medicines, preventatives to keep too much amyloid from getting created in the brain. And we have one in particular, it's called a gamma secretase modulator, that's getting ready for trials. It's looking very attractive. That would be a pill you take for Alzheimer's, just like you take a pill for cholesterol. And that would be for younger people to keep them from getting the amyloid, although it would also be useful if you're at other stages.
Jeff, I can't thank you enough. And, of course, you're CEO and president of Cure Alzheimer's Fund. I remember 5 years ago when you first came to a Rotary meeting on Martha's Vineyard. That's where the Rotarian Action Group began. For the purpose of fighting Alzheimer's and other kinds of dementia. And yep. I remember the first presentation. It was absolutely terrific. But tell us about the one that you did at a Rotary convention. It was a room that held 300 people, and you had to turn 100 people away. That's got to say something about the interest.
Well, I would say that I actually have spoken. I spoke in Thailand, Bangkok. I spoke in Brazil, and I spoke in Portugal. And in all three cases, we had rooms of 200, 250 capacity, and in every three instances, we were sold out. People were waiting in the aisles to try to get in.
Are they clamoring for information, or are they scared?
They're clamoring for both. I think everybody realizes that they're in danger. Almost every family has somebody that has Alzheimer's or certainly a friend. And so everybody is very, very interested. And we've got nothing but support from Rotary over this our initiatives. So
and Jeff,
it's going to really impact.
I'd like to... I know we have to go on a break shortly, but I did want to either have you or Tim Armour tell us about that grant that is being done with your support. Cure Alzheimer's came up with $250,000, a match from Rotary International for $125,000 for a total of $375,000 to do a research project to determine why more women have Alzheimer's than men. And, of course, it started with the Rotary Club of Martha's Vineyard getting together with their international partner, the Rotary Club of Toronto. And you played a major role, Jeff, in helping to get that started. And, Tim, we're so grateful to all the good things that Cure Alzheimer's Fund has done. And tell us about who'll be leading that project.
Yeah, I'd like to, Tim, I'd like to take this since I've been doing the bulk of the work on this. turns out that women get a lot more Alzheimer's than men, and nobody knows why. And there's been very little research done on this, which is a paradox, since everybody's trying to find a cure and more women get it than men. So we made a proposal to the Rotary people, the Rotary Foundation, and they looked into it and they decided to join with us on this, this project along with the Martha's Vineyard Club and the Toronto Club. This is a really interesting project because it turns out that nobody's ever done the sequencing of genetic sequencing of the XY chromosomes, which hold a lot of the secrets to why this is occurring, and we're going to be doing that. And we're also, we have the largest database in the world of the genetics of Alzheimer's, and so we are going to be looking on a gene-by-gene basis to see whether women or men get more Alzheimer's in connection with a given gene. And that's going to lead us to finding some genes where women just get more than men, and then we will be able to analyze them more carefully.
Jeff,
so it's a big project and very exciting and very complicated.
And we're going to talk more after the break, Jeff and Tim. The phone lines are ringing, but I certainly would like to talk about Dr. Rudy Tanzi and the role that he plays in this whole thing. But we're going to take a short break. And, of course, when you think about Alzheimer's, the devastating disease of the brain, it destroys the brain cells, which certainly have an effect on memory loss, our way of thinking, the decisions we make, and judgment calls. It can also change your personality. We'll be right back.
Now back to Service Matters with Dave Clifton and Rona Mann. Call them now at 401-437-5000 or 888-345-0790 on AM 790 Talk and Business.
And welcome back. Dave Clifton here along with Rona Mann. We're co-hosting today's show on Alzheimer's / dementia. And we also looking forward to chatting with some other folks. I know Bob Elmer joins us here in the studio. He wrote a book called Join the Journey, and, of course, it's care for Alzheimer's caregivers, and that's an important role. But on the telephone line, we have Tim Armour, the president and CEO of Cure Alzheimer's Fund, Jeff Morby, one of the founders, on the telephone line, Bill Shalito just called in from North Carolina. But we're going to go back to Jeff and Tim right now. Let's talk about Dr. Rudy Tanzi. Tim, do you want to take that?
Sure. Rudy was one of the first researchers that Jeff and Jackie and Henry McCants and Phyllis Rappaport determined was a leader in the Alzheimer's research field. And he had done a lot of important work in genetics already, having discovered some of the early genes that determine Alzheimer's. And they got together with Rudy and asked him how could they help, how could they move this this forward and do more and better research. And Rudy said, well, you know what we ought to do is gather together some of the leading Alzheimer's researchers in the world and form a research consortium, which will then direct the work of Cure Alzheimer's Fund in terms of the funding and what kind of research is being done. And that's what we did starting in 2005. We now have about 20 members of that research consortium all over the world, and they receive funding from us as well as from a lot of other people.
Terrific.
To do leading, cutting-edge, innovative work in Alzheimer's that contributes to the field so that they can really understand the pathology.
We've been reading about Dr. Rudy Tanzi in Time magazine. He's been everywhere. He's been on TV, and he's a name well-known, and we're so happy that he'll be taking the lead with a team of folks who are going to do that research project. Jeff Morby, any final comment? We got the telephone lines ringing. We got people wanting to get on the air with us. Any final comment, Jeff, from Florida?
The only thing I'd say is that the Rotary International Convention is in Atlanta this year, and it's going to be a major event since it coincides with, what is it, the 40th anniversary, I think? Of
100th anniversary of the Rotary Foundation, the heart and soul of RI.
Yeah, and so there are going to be about 40,000 people there, and we're going to be giving a talk. We have one of our outstanding researchers there who's going to give a talk, and I'm going to say a few words. And so I'm expecting that to be totally sold out, but hopefully we'll have a larger room than we did before. But
you are going to have a larger room, from my understanding, Jeff, and I know that we're going to have the largest turnout ever at a Rotary International Convention. And I want to thank, Jeff, you and Jackie and all the founders. Tim Armour, we thank you for all the good things you and your staff over at Cure Alzheimer's Fund over there in Wellesley, Massachusetts. Congratulations to you both. That Rotarian Magazine, April of 2015, a six-pager on this cause. And we congratulate all the effort that you folks have put into this. Thank you for joining us here on AM 790 WPRV.
Thank you for joining us on Service Matters.
That was Jeff Morby and Tim Armour. And right now we have Bill Shillito calling in from North Carolina. He is the vice chair of ADRAG, which is called Alzheimer's Dementia Rotarian Action Group. And it's a group that organized 5 years ago. And but Bill also has another role, and it's called CART. It stands for Coins for Alzheimer's Research Trust. And I'm going to let Bill tell us what the purpose is and what progress you're making with that. Bill, thank you for joining us on the air.
You're welcome, Dave, and good afternoon to you and Rona.
Good afternoon.
Welcome.
Good afternoon. Thank you. I'm happy to be joining you actually from Chantilly, Virginia today, where there are four Rotary districts of about 250 Rotarians gathering, preparing for their next year of service as president-elects, and I'll be addressing them tonight about Coins for Alzheimer's Research Trust. And we were formed in 1996 as a 501c3 with the idea of raising funds that direct to research. We wanted to find young researchers who had good ideas that couldn't find funding any other way. So we consider ourselves the venture capital folks of the research world in Alzheimer's. We were fortunate enough to get some assistance early on helping us select the best research grant requests coming out of AFAR, and AFAR has been a wonderful organization to help us. But since then, we have our own scientific advisory board that sorts through our 30 to 40 grant requests per year, selects the top 10, and then we fund as many of those as we can each year. Looks like we'll be able to do $650,000 in grants this year.
That's
maybe
terrific.
Five grants.
Bill, we're so happy to have you as the vice chair of ADRAG. You certainly have had lots of involvement, especially with the 11 Rotary districts in the South Carolina, North Carolina, and Georgia area. You've done a terrific job with the newsletter. And I know that there are people out there that want to learn more about this cause, what we're doing, what our challenges are. And I hope that somehow people can be in touch with us. Would you make a suggestion as the vice chair of ADRAG of how somebody could get a copy of that newsletter if they were interested?
Very good. Look for us on our website, Alzheimer's Dementia Rotarian Action Group, and just simply send us an email and ask us on that distribution.
I have to interrupt you. That's a mouthful. So can you say it again slowly?
Dave, why don't you? Yeah,
I think all you have to do really is to contact ADRAG. It stands for Alzheimer's Dementia Rotarian Action Group. We have a web page, and once you punch in ADRAG, it's going to come right up, and you'll get all kinds of information, facts, information on not just people who have Alzheimer's, but you'll also get some information about caretakers, what you can do. Caregivers is really what I should be saying, not caretakers, caregivers.
And you also get an opportunity to learn about some of the kinds of things that we're planning and preparing, including that research grant.
Yes, sir.
Right now, we have another caller on the line, Bill. Please hold on.
The guy who pays the bills.
We want to make sure we get Tim Draper on from Navigant Credit Union. Tim, thank you for joining us here on AM 790.
How are we doing today?
Hey, we're doing well. It's been a while since we talked to you. What you doing at Navigant?
Well, you know, we're getting into the spring, and I'd like to think we're getting in the spring anyway. Well, today seems to not necessarily indicate that, but people are starting to get out there, and they're starting to really think about, you know, maybe it's time for change in their house. Maybe it's time for a new home. Maybe their family's growing. They need to move into their second house. Maybe they're looking to purchase their first house. Either way, Navigant has a really good lending team who will work with our clients, either, you know, come out to your house or you can come into the branches. Or
the operative word there is team, isn't it, Tim?
Correct. There's several loan originators we have here. There's a great servicing department. There's a super underwriting staff and processing team, and you know, they all work together to make sure that we can finance your house requirements in a fast and expedient way, and you know, help you to move in along and find the house, get you into the house that you really wanted to get into. So, you know, our first time home buyers program is a fun program for folks because it talks to those people who've never purchased a home before.
It's education, isn't it?
It is. It's all about education because most people, again, we've talked about it before, don't know that when you buy a house, you know, geez, I forgot, I have grass. I guess I have to buy a lawnmower. You know, or in this time of the year, wow, it's backbreaking to shovel, so maybe I want to buy a snowblower or hire somebody to plow in my driveway. So it's you know, we think that you're so excited about that first home, you're so excited about buying a house, that sometimes you forget about those things that are added expenses that you might come up with. So, you know, we're here to try and help to remind you of those things or tell you about those things, just so that you get the full picture,
and
so
that's
you're not getting in over your head. And that you're in a house that you can afford. And
that's people helping people, all 15 branches of the Navigant Credit Union.
You got it.
That's your motto, Tim, and we thank you so much. We have a terrific program today. We're talking to all kinds of people about the dementia and, of course, Alzheimer's. We thank you so much for coming on the air with us today.
Thanks, Tim.
That was Tim Draper.
No problem. We'll talk to you next week.
Good.
He's our vice president of marketing at the Credit Union, the Navigant Credit Union, and we certainly appreciate all of their efforts. And right now we got Bill Shillito on the telephone line. We have some other people are calling in. And Bill, we thank you so much for joining us today. Bob has a question he'd like to ask you.
Bill, Bob, yes, Elmer, how are you, sir?
I'm good.
We've spoken through email. I had a question. It was Dizzy Dean who said, if you've done it, you're not bragging. And I'd like you to talk a little bit more about how established CART is, because as you know, in the last month or so, I've had the pleasure of working with Barbara Ivey. And in doing that, I learned, it really opened my eyes. I learned a great deal about, frankly, how established you guys are doing. And frankly, it's not just about coins, is it? Can you talk a little bit about your success?
Very good. Thank you for that question, Dick. And indeed, we started in South Carolina, one Rotarian. This is the power of Rotary. One Rotarian got his club behind him of about 70 people. Then he got his district behind him, which covers half of South Carolina, and they started supporting him. Next thing you know, they had $100,000 to do the first grant. We've spread quickly from there to add 10 districts, all of North Carolina, all of South Carolina, and all of Georgia. We grew that to about $4 million in giving. Most recently, all the 8 districts in Florida have committed to us. One district in Virginia, and I'm in Virginia now trying to get the other 2 districts to close all of Virginia out. We'll grow from this 750-plus clubs that we're supporting it now through those states to over 1,000 Rotarians giving to CART. We're happy to have donations from anyone outside of Rotary as well. That works well. The biggest donation we've ever received, Dick, was from a second-grade teacher who talked to a Rotarian friend of hers, who actually was a second-grade student of hers, and she wanted to know what he was up to since she was in a retirement home. He explained what he was doing with CART, and she said, I'd like to donate. She wrote a check for $25,000, the largest single donation we've ever received.
Wow. You know, in an organization like Rotary, where our motto is service above self, again, just so everybody understands, I'm reading some notes here, and over $4 million has been raised through the coordinated efforts of 11 Rotary districts in South Carolina and North Carolina and Georgia. And that
That's
is
right.
That is something you should be very, very proud of.
Yes, sir. We could hit grants this year totaling $650,000 based on the funds we've raised just this year. 100% of everything donated goes to research. We're all volunteers. We all commit their time. We don't pay any for any office, no paid staff. We don't even pay for a phone line. Everything that's donated to us goes directly to research through the voluntary efforts of Rotarians.
Well done.
Bill, thank you so much for joining us, calling in from, I guess you're not in North Carolina, you're in Virginia.
Chantilly.
But,
Chantilly, right.
Chantilly Lane.
Yes, sir.
And we thank you also for all the good work you do for ADRAG, and we appreciate it. That's www.adrag.org.
That's it, and it's a pleasure serving with you, Dave. As chairman of that organization, you've done a wonderful job, and I thank you for the opportunity to serve with you.
And we'll talk again later. Appreciate
the
call.
Good afternoon, folks. All the best, Rona.
Thank you.
Thank you, and right now we got our district governor, Russell Bertrand, is joining us.
All rise.
He's calling in from the Rotary Club of Wakefield, Rhode Island.
About time he remembered to call us, huh?
District Governor, thank you for calling in.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. I know that
good.
It's 3 for a quarter. We didn't get you the first two times, but we got you this time.
So you saw me calling in then.
Thank you for calling in. We're talking about a terrific subject today that... It's been a project that started in District 7950 when we talk about ADRAG. It's a project that started with the Rotary Club of Martha's Vineyard, and we got some other people calling in as well. But we wanted to get your feelings on this as the district governor for District 7950.
Well, Dave, you certainly have the experts on the line today, but I remember going to Past District Governor Charlie Murphy's conference on Martha's Vineyard, and Dr. Rudy Tanzi spoke there, and Jeff Morby spoke there. At the very beginnings of, I don't think it was an action group yet, it was the formation of that, and that was very impressed back at that time.
And
so it's come a long way, and not with any, with a lot of work from you and the others.
Well, I think it's been a team effort, and I think it's... It's very gratifying to see that our district governor is calling up and that you appreciate all the things that are being done by a number of people. And hopefully someday we'll be able to lick this, we hope.
Let's hope so.
Thanks so much.
District governor, one thing you learn very early on is you can't do any of this by yourself. So you need to have a membership to help you and do these things. And District 7950 has been stepping up for me for the past 9 months, and we got about 3 months to go.
Well, you know how to get a team together. And, of course, the brains behind the whole thing is Karen. So say
That's
hi to
right.
her. Thanks so much for calling, Russell.
That is so transparent. Everybody figured that out pretty quick.
Yeah, it sure did.
Thank you very much, District Governor Russell Bertrand. Good luck with your district conference coming up in April in Providence.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You're going to have a table, I think, there at the House of Friendship. Aren't you going to have a display? And
That's right. We're doing a two-hour show from 2 to 4 p.m., and that's
right.
On Friday the 18th.
And aren't you going to have the Rotary Action Group for Alzheimer's there, too?
They're going to have a display there as well.
Right. Good. Good. Great. Well, we'll see you then. I'll see you before that, I'm sure. But thank you very much for the time.
Take
good luck.
Care, Russell.
And right now we have another caller, but we're going to hold off on the caller and take a quick break.
Yeah,
and
our
then we're going to come back after the next caller and spend some time with our guest here
we
in the studio.
We want to thank our producer, Nick Costa. He's in there. I don't know what he's listening to, but he's moving and he's shaking and he's rocking and rolling. So we'll find out during the break. Stay with us.
Now back to Service Matters with Dave Clifton and Rona Mann. Call them now at 401-437-5000 or 888-345-0790 on AM 790 Talk and Business.
Welcome back to Service Matters. Dave Clifton here along with Rona Mann, our final segment. And boy, this show has gone by very quickly. Alzheimer's, of course, the most common cause of dementia. On the telephone line right now, we have Dave Lander calling in, and he's calling in from the beautiful island of Martha's Vineyard here in Massachusetts. Dee, thank you for calling. Do you have your bathing suit on, or are you down at the waterfront?
My pleasure. Bathing suit's on, but it's a little windy and cold, so I'm inside in the office.
Tell me, Dee, I know that you serve as the treasurer for ADRAG, and you've been very much involved in developing that partnership with your Rotary Club as the past president and, of course, the Rotary Club of Toronto. And I think that research project to determine why more women have Alzheimer's than men, and that'll be led by Dr. Rudy Tanzi. You played a major role in making sure that we made that contact and that we made it happen because we had to have an international partner.
Yes, absolutely. The Rotary Club of Toronto is our international partner, and Ross Amos spearheaded that with his club, and we would not have been able to secure the global grant without their support, and we're looking forward to talking more about that in Atlanta at this year's convention, and next year's convention will be up in Toronto, and hopefully we'll have some amazing results to report.
You've been involved with ADRAG for quite a while, and I know that we don't have a lot of time, Dee. It's a shame that you're last on the agenda here, but I think you can understand we had lots of guests today, and we've covered a lot of subjects. But, you know, the purpose of getting ADRAG together is to try to support the clubs and the districts and to make sure that they understand that we're in this to fight Alzheimer's and other causes of dementia. And I know that you've been with us from the start. What have you got to say about it?
Well, it's been a great action group, and I think we're really just beginning to gain momentum with the research project, and I expect that we're going to attract a lot more members. As you know, we accept memberships from districts, from clubs, and, of course, from Rotarians, and our major areas of focus are research for a cure to eradicate Alzheimer's and dementia, but also to support patient and caregivers, which is an important area, and education, awareness, and disease prevention is a third area of focus, and then finally outreach to support projects from other clubs and that support our areas of focus.
Well said, Dee, and I want to thank you so much for joining us here from Martha's Vineyard, and we'll be in touch in terms of our meetings and things that are coming up.
That sounds great, Dave. Awesome show. I really enjoyed listening to it, and thanks for leading our Alzheimer's Dementia Rotarian Action Group. You've done a great job.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, and give our best to Dick Pratt.
Absolutely will.
And now we're going to go back to Bob Elmer.
He wrote an amazing book.
He's a special guy.
Join the Journey, because this book is not about Alzheimer's as much as it is about the caregivers who are lost, so many of them, confused, afraid.
Overwhelmed.
Overwhelmed, and he addresses that. Before we go any further, Bob Elmer, how do they get this book?
Probably, I would refer you to Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble. You can go read the name of the, again, the title of the book is Join the Journey, Care for the Alzheimer's Caregiver. My name is Robert Elmer, and that's probably the best way to get it.
And your approach in there is just so simple and common sense. Why not talk about it?
Well, it's written for Aunt Martha, whoever that might be. I'm not a clinician, and I write this from the perspective of a day in the life of a caregiver. And when I discuss the different behavior challenges that they face, I always use illustrations, day-in-the-life examples. Most of the writing that I do, and I write for six different newspapers as well, and I also do some broadcast journalism, often those subjects are driven by the questions that I get from my readers and from my listeners.
What's the most common question that they ask?
It really varies. I would say the number one, if they really don't understand, and this is sort of a tip-off, is what's the difference between Alzheimer's and dementia? Uh-huh. They don't realize that dementia is a symptom. It's not a diagnosis, that Alzheimer's is in fact dementia, but dementia is not always Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. So we start there. There's three things that I share with every group I lecture with, and that is the number one thing they're looking to you for is to feel safe. Everybody needs to understand that. They can't reason away fear and anxiety like you and I can. The second thing is you can't reason with someone who's literally lost the ability to reason because their world makes perfect sense to them as they see it, and you can't forget that. And the third thing is it's the illness. You know, if mom is using words that you never knew she knew, worse than that, she's using them appropriately in a sentence, or if dad gets up in a room full of people and starts to take his clothes off, he may be overheated, he may have to go to the bathroom, but that's his brain's way of working with that problem or that challenge. And that's what you have to remind yourself of all the time. It's the illness. And is it frustrating? Yes, it is. I mentioned feedback I got. I got an email just this past week from a woman who said, you know, Bob, I read your articles and I listen to your things on the radio and I've read your book, but I don't want to join the journey. Because her mom was delusional, and she was accusing her daughter of things that weren't true. And you don't want to say, okay, you're absolutely right, Mom. She is stealing from you, or she is angry with you, or she does hate you.
It really is.
But I, in a very lengthy email, responded back to her, and I just followed up with her, and, you know, it seems to have helped out a lot. But, you know, understand, delusions are firm, fixed beliefs. So those are the kind of challenges these people face every day.
What a major responsibility that caregivers have, and I think you've spelled out nicely in your written material, Bob, and you've talked about it on the air, that they want to do the best they can to help their loved ones. They don't want to send them off to another location. They want them to be home, but yet again,
that doesn't always work, though, does it?
Stress.
Having them home.
Well, it's look, this is across the board in healthcare, period. I've told families for 18 years, never make that promise to your mother and father that you won't put them in a nursing home. Because frankly, if they're at a time in their life where that's the level of care they require, then you're really doing them a disservice by not putting them where, again, how unfair is that to them? You know, if you cannot meet their needs at home, and, you know, you talk about the impact on women in this industry, and about 63% of all at-home caregivers are women. But interestingly enough, the 15 million caregivers that are out there, those informal caregivers, we call them the at-home caregivers, 30% of them are going to predecease the people they're caring for.
Especially the serious case of Alzheimer's. It's something that you can't control. It could be unsafe.
Yeah. Well, people ask me, well, why is the mortality rate so high? And again, 63%, the mortality rate of an at-home caregiver is 63% greater than it is for non-caregivers of the same age. And they say, well, why? Well, if you take a 79-year-old, 80-year-old person with dementia who's being cared for by another 79 or 80-year-old with dementia, when that person is up wandering around the house in the middle of the night, guess who else is wandering around the house in the middle of the night, making sure that he or she is not in harm's way, not going to fall, and so on and so forth. So it takes an alarming toll, and as I mentioned to you off mic, someone was heard to say it's possible to die from Alzheimer's without having Alzheimer's.
One of the things that I always like about what you write is you always put your email in and you urge people, call me. Let me help solve your problems.
I love being a resource. I really do.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for today's show. A very special thank you to you, Bob,
for
joining us here in the studio. We had an overwhelming list of guests. That's going to wrap it up today for Service Matters. I'm Dave Clifton.
I'm Rona Mann.
Bidding you farewell from our studios here in East Providence. What a wonderful world it is. And it is because there's lots of people out there willing to do what they can to help others out. Let's do what we can to help those people that have Alzheimer's, those people who are caregivers, and, of course, the research
and let's find a cure.
See you next week.